بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Yasin. We have reached verse 52. قال الله تعالى قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. They will say, woe to us, who has raised us up from our place of sleep? This is what the Most Beneficent had promised, and the messengers spoke the truth. Ya waylana, al-wayl means destruction. Woe to us, who has raised us up from our place of sleep. Marqadina, this is referring to their graves. Who raised us up from this place of dwelling we are in? Sleep. There is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, rahimahumullah, concerning this. Are they in sleep, then they are awakened by the second blow, by the second blowing? Or is it that their presence in their graves with respect to what they will see on the day of resurrection, it is as if only asleep? Because when something is related to something far greater in magnitude, it would look nothing, or simple, or easy, depending. This last opinion is the correct one, and this was the opinion chosen by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir as well. Because there is no evidence that they sleep between the blowings, between the two blowings of the trumpets, and an authentic evidence is required, because this is a matter of the unseen. So for some to say that they were between the two blowings sleeping untortured, this requires an authentic evidence, because it's a matter of the unseen. And we know that al-marqad, the place where a person may be, he may be in a place and may go through certain sufferings in the same place. Don't you see the person when he is in sleep and he sees in his dreams, terrifying dreams, to the extent that he would awake up terrified? Nevertheless, when he gets up, it is said that he got up from his place or dwelling place. So their torture in their graves with respect to the torture in the hereafter is like sleep. Imagine the saying of Allah, or contemplate rather the saying of Allah in Surah Taha in this respect, 21:27. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى. And the torment of the hereafter is far more severe and more lasting. So whatever they will suffer in the graves will be like sleep when compared to the torment awaiting them on the day of resurrection. We seek refuge in Allah from that. Then we continue the verse we are discussing.
قالوا يا ويلنا, they said, woe to us, من بعثنا من مرقدنا. One should stop in the recitation here. يا ويلنا, woe to us, من بعثنا من مرقدنا, who has raised us up from our place of sleep.
So that the person continues the recitation afterwards.
هذا ما وعد الرحمن, this is what the most beneficent had promised.
It is said that this statement, هذا ما وعد الرحمن, this is what the most beneficent had promised,
it is said to them when they asked, who has raised us up from our place of sleep?
It will be said to them, this is what the most beneficent had promised.
This is one saying. The other saying, that this is from them. They said it. That they attest and admit when they see
the day of resurrection.
So the verse covers both possibilities.
It is possible that they say they said this, or they will say this,
and it's possible also that it will be said to them in response to their statement, "Who to us who raised us from this place of sleep."
However, in Surah As-Saffat, in chapter 37, verses 20-21, we read the following.
وَقَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا هَذَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ.
They will say, woe to us, this is the day of recompense, this is the day of judgment which you used to deny.
So what's apparent from this verse of Surah As-Saffat 37:20, that it is they who say this, who will say this to each other.
This is the day of recompense.
So these verses from Surah As-Saffat are more apparent than this verse in Surah Yasin as to who is saying, woe to us who raised us from this place of sleep.
Now if someone says,
هل يمكن أن يكون القول صادرا منهم وإليهم,
would it be possible that the saying would be said to them
and also said by them, or rather
Yes, this is it. The answer is, this is not something remote, or it is possible, but one cannot really affirm it. One cannot say it with a firmness.
We continue the explanation.
قالوا هذا ما وعد الرحمن.
هذا ما وعد الرحمن.
This is what the most beneficent had promised.
Ar-Rahman is one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, the most mighty, the most magnificent. Particular to him, مُخْتَصٌ بِهِ, particular to him.
Man is called with this name, Ar-Rahman, except Allah.
As to Ar-Rahim, this may be an attribute to creation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah.
Ar-Rahman means the one possessing vast mercy.
So it relates to Allah's attribute. While Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, is related to Allah's action. Ar-Rahim may describe someone of the creation. Like in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 128. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. There has come unto you a messenger from amongst yourselves, whom you know well. It grieves him that you should receive any injury or difficulty. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is anxious over you to rightly guide you to repent, etc. For the believers, he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is full of pity, kind and merciful. So there is a description of merciful applied upon a created being, in this case the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So, Ar-Rahman, it means the one possessing vast mercy. And Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, is the one whose mercy reaches whomever he wishes from his creation. In this verse, Allah mentioned Ar-Rahman, his name. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is what Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent, had promised. He didn't say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهِ. He did not say, this is what Allah had promised. Because the mercy of Allah on the day of resurrection will be much more manifested than in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 mercies. He put one of them on earth. And when the day of resurrection occurs, he will have the 100. The 1 plus the 99. And this tells of the great manifestation of his mercy on that day. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentioned, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is what the most beneficent had promised. And regarding the names of Allah, we must believe in the name, number one. The position of the believer must be, first, believe in the name. نُؤْمِنُ بِالْإِسْمِ وَمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الصِّفَةِ. And secondly, what it denotes from the attribute. Third, believing in its influence and its impact. So here, Ar-Rahman is his name, and Ar-Rahma is his attribute, and he bestows mercy upon whom he wishes from his creation. Then at the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, meaning the messengers spoke the truth. The benefits of this verse. Number one, this verse clearly shows the intense grief and suffering of those who belie the day of resurrection once they are resurrected. Because they will say, woe to us, who brought us from this place of sleep And this Ya Waylana, this woe to us, is an invocation for destruction and grief upon the one who utters it. Second benefit, the punishment in the barzakh life, the barzakh life meaning the barrier life, which begins after the person dies, and continues until the day of resurrection. People are either in torture or in bliss in this period, which is called barzakh, the barrier life. The punishment in the barzakh life with respect to the hereafter's punishment is easy. It is like someone taking a sleep or in sleep. This is in comparison. Third benefit we learn from this verse, that the staying in the graves is like sleep. Someone sleeping then awakes and leaves the place. Fourth benefit, in this verse there is a scolding of those who belie the messengers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ, this is what the Most Beneficent had promised. So now, you see, you challenged. Now, this is the just punishment befalling you. Fifth benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises are true and are fulfilled. And the next sixth benefit is the truthfulness of the messengers in that which they relate from Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended this verse, وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, and the messengers spoke the truth. The seventh verse, the seventh benefit rather, that the mushriks, the disbelievers, attest when they see the truth that what Allah promised shall take place. This is if we direct the saying هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ, this is what the Most Beneficent had promised, if we direct it to them saying this. However, attesting the truth after examining it is of no benefit. Attesting to the truth after examining it is of no benefit. Because if one attests to the truth, if one attests to the truth in the unseen, then he is a believer in the unseen. But if he doesn't, and then he attests to it when it is witnessed, then he is a believer in what is witnessed. Case: if someone says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6 verse 23, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ, there will then be left no fitna for them but to say, by Allah our Lord, وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ, we were not those who joined others in worship with you. So here they deny committing shirk, yet they were mushriks. Rather, in another verse, we read that they attest to their shirk, as in Surah An-Nisa 4:42, يَوْمَ إِذِ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. So how can we reconcile these verses? On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the messenger will wish that they were buried in the earth, but they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah. So they will attest to their shirk. And in the previous verse, they make an oath by Allah. We were not those who committed shirk. And here they admit. How can we reconcile these two verses? The reconciliation is, the day of resurrection is not one moment or a short time. Rather, it is 50,000 years. 50,000 years. 50,000 سنة. So they turn. Sometimes they admit all that they have done, and sometimes they deny. When they see the salvation for the believers, they will say, وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. Our Lord, we were not, by Allah, our Lord, we were not those who joined others in worshipping Allah. The verse above. Why? Hoping that they will be saved as others were saved. But their mouths will be sealed, and their hands and feet and legs will speak, and their upon they will admit, and they, as Allah said, they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah. And Allah the Most High knows best. Is this reconciliation clear to you of these two verses? And this brings the end of the discussion on this verse. والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Yasin, and we have reached verse 53. قال الله تعالى إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون. Verse 53. It will be but a single shout, so behold, they will all be brought up before us. In this ayah there is evidence for the perfect ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, and that the people in the graves, they will receive this shout, and it all will come quickly. None will remain in their graves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so behold, they will all be brought up before us. And from this also we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commands something, He does not repeat that. Rather, one command. This is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qamar 54:50. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. And from the benefits of this verse is the indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to judge between the creation. Because He said, لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. They will all be brought up before us. And this before indicates closeness. And it is affirmed by textual proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to judge between creation. Then we move to verse 54. Then we move to verse 54. قال الله تعالى فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون. This means on this day, the day of resurrection, none will be wronged in anything, nor will you be requited anything except that which you used to do. When people are judged, then there is no one will be wronged in anything. No one's sins will be increased, nor taken away from their good deeds. Each will have or will see that which he had done. None will be wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts this in Surah Taha in chapter 20, verse 112. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَضْمًا وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَضْمًا. And he who works deeds of righteousness while he is a believer, then he will have no fear of injustice, nor of any curtailment of his reward. Even the kafir, his punishment will be in accordance with his actions. And actions certainly cover body parts, and also it covers utterances, sayings. Also it covers the actions of the heart. So therefore, when the term actions or deeds is generalized, then it covers the action of the heart, and also that of the tongue and the body parts. However, if it is said actions and sayings, or conviction and actions, or conviction and deeds, then in this case the actions here would refer to those carried by body parts. And this is replete in the Arabic language and also in the glorious Quran. A thing, if it is mentioned in a singular form, can be comprehensive. And if it is associated with other terms, it becomes particularized. Now, if someone asks the question, also, would the deeds cover refrainment? Would refrainment be considered also as a deed? If someone relinquishes a sin, would it be said that this is a deed done? Well, he will be rewarded for. The answer is yes. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, من هم بالسيئة فلم يعملها كتبها الله حسنة كاملة. Whoever intends to perform a sin but does not do it, Allah will write it a complete good deed for him. So abandoning or abandonment means refraining the self from its temptations. And this is action, this is a deed in itself. So therefore, in this verse, anything except which you used to do. What you used to do covers all these actions, the actions of the heart, the actions of the tongue, the action of body parts, and also the actions of abandonment. From the benefits of this verse, the day of resurrection is a day of justice. No one will be wronged. as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ And we shall set up balances of justice on the day of resurrection. And none will be dealt with unjustly in anything. And if there will be the weight of a mustard seed, he will bring it. And sufficient are we as reckoners. Now what about other than the day of judgment? Will there be any injustice? The answer is no. The third point of benefit, the recompense will be in direct relation to the type of deeds, to the kind of deeds. Because Allah stated in this verse, وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ On this day, none will be wrong, nor will you be requited anything except that which you used to do. And this tells the perfect justice of Allah, the most magnificent and most mighty. Now, if someone asks the question, isn't it that the one who does an act which is righteous will be recompensed or rewarded by 10? Allah will amplify it to 10 good deeds. The answer is yes, of course. But this is from the requital which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. So it does not contradict the apparent meaning of the verse. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that whoever brings a good deed, Allah will amplify it to 10 of the like. So it becomes part of his saying, إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Except that which he used to do. So it falls under this part of the verse. This brings the end of today's discussion on verses 53 and 54. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه